It certainly is good to be here today. In Brother Jerry's introduction, he talked about the talents given to the men or servants according to their several ability. And he didn't give to each one of them his goods equally. This ties in, I think, pretty close to what I have on my mind this morning. When God says that He gave to every man by inspiration a measure of faith, I want to ask you a question. Do you think God gave the same amount of faith to every man? Or do you think that He did give the same amount of faith to every man, and the difference in people's lives is how they use that faith? We think. You see people, I see people that live their whole lives looking with their eyes and not walking by faith. I mean God's people. At times I've looked out at each of your faces and thought, not walking by faith, walking by eyeball sight. You know, pastors do that. Did y'all know that? Pastors actually look at people and their lives and how you're walking, and they assess you whether you know it or not, whether they tell you or not, they're looking at you. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know whether it's... And now, I do know this. I know the second part's true. I know that each one of us use our faith that God's given us differently.
Right.
I know that's true. I don't know if the same measure is given to every man, woman, and child or not. I don't know that. But I do know that how we use our faith is different. Just like the talents. Some men, women, children walk by faith better than others. Some of them take what God gives them and puts it into use daily. And some of them bury it. Some of them are not very industrious with what God's given them. And some are very industrious. Turn to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. 12th chapter of Hebrews. Paul had just gotten finished talking about all these great spiritual giants of faith, hadn't he? We call Hebrews chapter 11 the faith chapter, or the hall of faith. Instead of the hall of fame, we call it the hall of faith. And all these great men and women are mentioned in this chapter. Did you know that a harlot is mentioned in this chapter? We've got some young ears here, but I just want to let you know that this lady was not looked up at. She was not idolized. She was not a very virtuous woman. And yet she found her way in this hall of faith. You know why? It's because she believed God.
Right.
That's why. Every one of these people mentioned in this 11th chapter of Hebrews believed God. They didn't question Him. Well, Abraham questioned a little bit, which I probably would have questioned what he questioned too. Sarah mentioned here, she questioned God. The reason why she questioned Him was because He told her she was going to bear a child at 90 years old. Or after she had way passed the childbirth in years. I probably would question that myself. But they're mentioned because they believed that God was able to do it. And He did. Now, because He told them that He was going to be with them. Each one of these people believed God against what their eyes were seeing. Do y'all see that? Their eyes saw all the difficulties of life before them. But God said, you go with me. You listen to what I'm telling you and not what the world tells you or what you're seeing, and it's going to turn out good. Noah, that man was moved with fear to prepare an ark when it hadn't even rained upon the earth yet. Now, if you were walking by sight, would you build a boat? I wouldn't. I wouldn't build a boat in a time when I didn't even know what rain was. It had not even rained on the earth. So this boat that he built was on dry ground. Does that sound strange to you? It did to everybody else around Noah. They mocked him and ridiculed him. You know for how long? It's 100 years. This man, now you talk about walking in faith. Noah walked in faith for 100 years before God blessed him to see the end of that faith. Why do you think that He tells us to run our race with patience? Let's read it. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Period. Paul says that at the latter part of Hebrews 12, he says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. God didn't complete all that stuff in them. They couldn't see it. And yet, they lived their life by faith.
Right.
What is he talking about? Who's the complete... Who did he complete... I mean, who's the completer? who's the perfecter. He says, God hath provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Who's the perfecter or completer? Who are enjoying the perfection or the completion of what he's talking about? Well, Christ is the perfecter and completer. Right? He's talking about us, that we receive the promises in Christ. And that we're the ones that have saw the perfection. They were looking forward to it. We're looking back to the perfection. Right. Y'all get that? He says they were not complete. It was not complete in their lifetime, and yet it's complete in yours. It's perfected in yours. It's completed. Now, and he says, wherefore, seeing that we've got all these kind of witnesses talking about David, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Abel, Enoch, all them, Sarah, David, all of these, Abraham, Jephthah, all those, Rahab the harlot who saved her whole life and her life of her whole house, He says, we have these all kind of witnesses all around. A great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud. Does that seem strange to you why he's calling them a cloud? What does a cloud do? You ever been in a cloud? I have. I've been in a cloud. In airplanes, I've also been in clouds up in the Smoky Mountains, you know, where it's all cloudy around. What does that mean? That means that you're engulfed by witnesses of faith. You are. You're engulfed by so many witnesses of living by faith. He says, because you're engulfed, it's not talking about this one here and one there, a sparse population of witnesses. He says, not just one or two, you're engulfed by them. Because you're engulfed by these witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, he's talking about running a race. Y'all know that. He's talking about, has a reference to those games that they played in the Olympic Games, what now we call the Olympic Games. That's what he has an allusion to here. Running a race. And he's talking about those racers that have any kind of weight about them. You know, you don't run a race with a belt full of lead, do you? You don't run a race with big old heavy high top shoes, do you? You don't run a race with weight on your back, do you? With a backpack on, do you? If you're going to run a race in that kind of game, you want to strip down to as little as you can. And actually, these runners ran naked. If you want to know the truth about it, back in these old days, they ran naked. Why? Because they didn't want to weigh down themselves. What were they running for? They were running for a corruptible crown made out of wreathing vines and stuff like that with leaves, like fig, not fig leaves, olive leaves or whatever kind of leaves that they had, made a little wreath around, and that when whoever won that prize and was the first one to cross the finish line, he got to wear that crown. And I'm sure he was for the rest of his life on cloud nine. That's a joke. Those races and winning those races have a very short-lived glory about them. But Paul says, that let us lay aside every weight. My question to you today is, what is your weight? What's keeping you from running? It's going to be different for each one of you. That weight is going to be different. And yet we all have the same kind of weight that keeps us from running. And Paul deals with that next. And the sin that does so easily beset us. What is the sin? Well, what did the witnesses have? They had faith. What is the sin that easily besets us? It's unbelief. That's the sin, I believe, that easily besets each and every one of us, is the opposite of faith, and that's unbelief. Now, what did God tell you? Do you know? How in the world could you run a race and believe what God said if you don't know what He said? That's tough preaching, ain't it? You know what I just said? I said, read your Bible, is what I just said. Read your Bible. Don't rely on the preacher to tell you what God said. Rely on the preacher to open up some spiritual food for you about what God said and get you to think about things that you hadn't thought about. But don't rely on the preacher to read for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's read our Bibles. How in the world could you believe what God said if you had never read what God said? It's hard to walk by faith and rest on His promises if you don't know what they are. That kind of makes sense, don't it? Like if you fall down in a mud puddle, you're going to get muddy. That's kind of simple, isn't it? It's tough preaching today, ain't it? Now, the sin which just... And isn't it easy to beset us? Isn't unbelief easy for us to be infirmed with or burdened with? Isn't it easy to not believe things? Isn't it easy to not walk by faith? Isn't it easy? Isn't it easy to rather guide your life on the ways that you see with your eyes instead of what God said? Isn't it easy? It's easy to walk that way with your eyeballs. Like, well, if they do that to me, then I'm going to do this, and they're going to do that, blah, 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 blah. You're thinking about things, about walking with your eyes and how things go. If somebody does wrong to you, what do your eyes tell you? Your eyes tell you and your mind tells you that you need to get back at them with at least the equal amount of force that they hit you with, and probably more. Because we're retaliatory people, aren't we? So if you walk your and guide your life like that, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. And that's not God's way. God's way is for us to live after the kingdom principles, which is not the way the world walks. He's showing us a better way about how to walk. And we have to work at walking by faith. We have to work at not letting unbelief beset us, because it easily does, doesn't it? It easily does. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why does He say run with patience? We've already said it took Noah 100 years to run that race before he saw the rain coming. And all the while being ridiculed. We see people like Abraham that had to wait for the promise that God gave him about a son, didn't we? We saw him wait. And we saw him wait so much that he tried to do it his own way, didn't he?
That's right.
He tried to do it Sarah's way. Sarah had a way. She said, well, God, I'm just tired of waiting on God. I'm just going to do this on my own. God's going to do it this way. And you take my handmaid and you make her your wife and you have a child by her. And that'll be the promised one. I'm telling you, when we walk by our sight, that's what she was doing, when we walk by our sight, it always turns out bad. And it has far-reaching implications if you look down through history and know who that wild man turned out to be. Patience. What does that mean? That means don't get ahead of God just because you're impatient about something. You ever prayed for something and just stopped praying about it because God just, you just thought it, well, God just ain't hearing me. Well, He might not have answered you because it wasn't a good prayer because you wanted to consume it upon your lust. But if it was according to the will of God and something that you needed and not wanted, you keep going to Him. Don't give up. And yes, some people, Brother Jerry, can't handle riches. I believe if God would have made me rich, it would have totally disrupted and destroyed my life. Because he probably knew that I couldn't handle it as good as some other people could. God knows what He's doing. Did you know that? God can see around the corner. We can just see to the corner. Y'all see that? I mean, I used to work with a lady, and y'all have heard me tell this a bunch. Her name was Lois. I love her. I used to preach to her, and she preached to me. And I'd tell her about a problem I had, and she'd say, oh, Brother Paul, God can see, you can just see to the corner, but God can see around it. You know, and the way for you to understand that God's got your back and your front is for you to follow His way no matter what is on the other side of the corner. Don't avoid the corner just because you can't see around it. Amen? Go God's way and He will direct thy paths. You got it? And He'll clear out the obstacles that you can't see. How are we supposed to run this race with patience? Don't get ahead of God. Don't get in a big hurry. Set the pace. Y'all know what a pace is, right? I'm sure that I've told this story here about me running a race. I haven't run too many races. 5K, I certainly am not going to run any more races now with my knee the way it is, but I kind of enjoyed it. I've only run like three. Three or four, I can't remember. A 5K. But I was racing this guy, racing in the race, my first real 5K. And it was hilly and all that. And our trainer told us, don't start off fast. Don't start off fast. It'll turn out bad. It takes a minute to kind of figure out what pace you're going to run at. And I was wanting to run my race to get it under a certain time, under 30 minutes. And you have to run at 6.2, at least 6.2 miles an hour to run a 3.1 mile race in 30 minutes. Y'all do the math. You have to run at least 6.2 miles an hour. All right? So I was running. I had it in the back of my mind. I want to run this race and under that time, and I've got to get under that time, and I know what that kind of feels like in my body, so I'm going to set my pace a little bit higher than that. And I settled in my pace. All of a sudden, there was this man. The race was at Christmas time. All of a sudden, there was this man dressed in a Santa Claus suit running past me in boots. And I was moving on pretty good. He zoomed past me, and then he'd stop and he'd walk. And I would pass him, slowly. And then in a little while, here comes Santa Claus zooming past me again. And we played this tortoise and hare game the whole time. And we got down and I could see the finish line. And I picked up the pace because I could see the finish line. Y'all with me? Are you with me? And here comes Santa Claus zooming past me again. And I thought he's going to beat me. And I picked it up and he would have beat me too. But I don't know who was under that Santa Claus suit, but he was in shape. And his hat fell off, and he stopped to get his hat, and I went past him and finished before Santa Claus. And I made it in under, I think it was 29:30 is what I ran that race in. But I had to set my pace. And I had to be a little bit patient. I couldn't run that race the way that fella dressed in the Santa Claus suit ran the race. We finished that pretty close to the same time, didn't we? But that wasn't my pace. He didn't really have a pace. But I know people that run their race like that, don't you? Don't you know people who run and it seems like they're on top of the world and then boom, they're in the valley. They're in the valley. And they just are walking. Maybe just sitting there resting. Not moving at all in their spiritual life. Y'all ever do that? Been on the mountaintop and then boom, been on the down in the valley? I mean, I've been there. Why is that? Why do people run their spiritual race like that? I tell you, the people that run like that are the people that only call on God when they think they need Him. The people that run their race like that Santa Claus did are the people that only read their Bible when they are having trouble in their life. The people that run the race like that are the people that only call on God when they think they need Him. That's the only time they pray. The people that run their race like that are the ones that are only thankful to God at certain times of the year. The people that run their race like that are the ones that only praise God when something just outstandingly wonderful happens in their life. They only worship Him and think about Him when things are going really bad. Do you want to run your race that way? A constant up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. My personality is more of a steady eddy kind of person. I don't get overly concerned about things. Things don't shake me up much. Why is that? Because I trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I know enough about this Bible, about His Word, to receive comfort in times of trouble because He's told me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
That's a promise that I lay hold on. You know why? Because I know He told it to me. I know He said it. And I know what He said is true. Because I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not going to let that beset me. Now I want to ask you, what kind of runner are you? I'm serious. I don't want you to holler it out. I want you to think about it, though. What kind of runner are you in God's race that He's set before you? And you think about this, because you're going to need it. And I want you to, because of what He's fixing to say here next, He's set before us a race. He's just already referenced all those people back in the 11th chapter. Do you think all of them had the same race to run? I don't. Each one of those men and women in that 11th chapter had a different race to run. Stephen, you got a race to run. Jerry, you got a race to run. Every person in this room has a race to run. And they're all different. And yet they're all run the same way. The only way that they can be run, really, if you're going to stay on course anyway, is to be run with patience. Now you can run this race having weights. I remember one time after I had lost about 60 pounds. I was running, he had us running with two 15 pound dumbbells around the track. Now that's only 30 pounds total, right? And I was, after I had lost that 60 pounds and I was running around that track, which was about a almost a half a mile, I could not believe, after we got around about a quarter mile around it, I could not believe how much of a struggle it was for me to run. And I had no idea how I was running with double what I was carrying. Y'all see that? I was a whole lot faster. I mean, relative to me. Not all that fast, but for me, I was faster. The only way that we can run this race with fleet feet is to drop our weights and the unbelief, the sin of unbelief, and run this race. Because you got a race set before you. And if you run it in unbelief, it's going to turn out, you're going to run it really slow, and it's going to be a labor for you to run it. You know another way, the only way that you can run this race is looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, do you know what that means? That means that He's the perfecter of it. He's the starter and the finisher of it. He's the one that wrote the book. He's the one that said the end. And if you're not looking at Him, guess what? you're running off course.
Right.
You're running haphazardly. You're running uncertainly. And how are we supposed to look at Christ? How are we supposed to look unto Him? He says, who for the joy that was set before Him. Do you know what joy was set before Him? It was you. And it was the knowledge of the fact that He was paying for His bride so that she would be with Him holy and blameless and harmless and pure before Him in love, in glory. That's the joy that was set before Him. With that in His view, okay? With you in glory with Him, in His view, He endured the cross. That was the race that was set before Him.
Right.
He endured the cross. Did He run His race with patience? Yes, He did. Did He have to go through a lot of trouble? Yes, He did. Did people contradict Christ in His race? Yes, they did. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. It was what He went through was on your behalf, but for the joy of having you with Him. It was, He had to go through some shameful things, and He despised the shame of being on the cross. And yet, it was necessary that He do so for the joy, to experience the joy that was set before Him. He had to go through the cross and the despising the shame of it. But you know what? After having gone through it, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
You know, there's a race set before you. The only way that you can run it is for you to have heaven in your view. Looking unto Jesus, who's already completed it, who's already perfected it, who's already made a place for you there. You're looking unto Jesus who went through all the troubles and trials and scourgings for you. You look to Jesus and say, that's what I'm doing it for.
That's right.
And one day I'm going to be with Him. And I've got a cross to endure myself. I'm going to despise the shame of it, but I'm going to go through it and endure it. You know, that's a problem that we have in America. We don't like to endure anything, do we? If we don't like something, we want it to just go and leave, don't we? Because we want to be comfortable and easy. We want everything to be nice and pretty, tied up in a bow and in a pretty little box, don't we? Well, guess what? He's going to tell us life ain't like that for a child of God.
Right.
Life is not like that for a child of God. If you're expecting your life to be easy in your walk with Christ, you're going to be disappointed if you're doing it right. We all have a race, a course set before us. Let us run that race with patience. Y'all have heard me say this? Toughness. Y'all know I like Rocky, right? The movie, Rocky movies. Because he's got some great wisdom. Or he said some, the writers had some great wisdom in the things that they wrote anyway for him to say. He told his son one time, he said, "Son, you got to be tough." He said, "But toughness is not how hard you hit. It's how many times you get back up after being hit. That's toughness." Folks, the world is going to knock you down. I'm telling you, the world will knock you down in this course, in this race. We have to be spiritually tough and get up and keep running. We can't just throw our hands up and say, "I give up in this race." If you do, your life will be a shipwreck. Let's run the race with patience. May God bless you to read His Word daily. May God bless you to meditate about what you read. May God bless you to communicate with Him. The doors of the church are open for reception of members, should any have that desire to follow Jesus Christ in righteousness. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.